Welcome to 20 Minutes and 2 Beers In. I'm JD.
Hey everybody, this is Bobby.
Episode 138, and it is a very, very very special episode.
So special that JD would not allow me to be in the room with him while he did the interview with our guest.
We've been going through some teams in the NFL getting ready for the season. We've talked to the Bears, a writer for the Bears, mm-hmm. a writer for the Broncos.
That's right.
This week we talked with Mike Wobschall with the Minnesota Vikings.
Yeah, very exciting stuff. JD got to ask all the questions he wanted. I think he probably took down his cell phone number. He's going to be texting him later,
yeah,
too.
But we did delve in strengths and weaknesses of the team,
sure.
How it's going to stack up there in the NFC North. Some interesting things coming out of Vikings training camp, and we'll hear from Mike, who is a writer for Vikings.com.
Excellent.
About that. So very exciting. And we're also, Bobby, we can't do a podcast without beer, and we're very excited about our beer this week.
Yeah, we love it when our listeners give us beers, and that's what happened this week. We got a Pipeworks Brewing Company beer from one of our listeners, Joe, and Pipeworks we love.
Yes.
We've had their Ninjas vs. Unicorns. We've had a couple other ones.
They always have the best labels.
Which one is this?
This is raspberry. It's an imperial style brewed with raspberries and cacao.
Cacao?
Cacao. It is Raspberry Truffle Abduction. And tell me about that picture, Bobby.
The picture's pretty amazing. It shows an alien on the front, and it looks like he's cut out a person's heart. But instead, in his hand is a raspberry, a giant raspberry.
And this is a serious beer. It's a 10.5.
Yeah.
So,
and it's seriously delicious.
Yeah, give it
a whirl. Have you tried it yet?
No, no.
It's good. It's nice, dark. It's a good stout, but it does have a lot of raspberry flavor to it. But a raspberry, it's not going to knock you over. It's not like a framboise-type raspberry. It's
wow.
A lot subtler than that, yeah?
That is good.
Mm-hmm.
That is good. And, you know, I'm usually not a huge stout guy, although I'm getting more and more to like stouts.
Yeah.
It's just enough raspberry.
Yeah, it's got a great finish on it, too.
Yeah, outstanding
good.
Stuff.
Good
outstanding
work.
Stuff. Well, excited to get to the interview, and of course, we'll still do our fun with the last call, one stop away, in our six pack. But when we come back, Mike Wobschall of Vikings.com. Take what you want from me. I'm not afraid to turn around to see you by my side. Welcome to the podcast, Mike Wobschall. Mike's with Vikings.com, the Minnesota Vikings official website. He's the written content coordinator in the blog section of the website's jacked with articles from Mike. He's also involved in the past with Gustavus Adolphus College Sports Information and the Minnesota State High School League. Currently the go-to guy for everything Vikings. So seriously, you need to go check out his stuff. Great articles. Welcome to the podcast, Mike.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. Thanks for having me.
Oh, no problem, no problem. And let's talk Vikings. You've been at training camp and following the Vikings so far this preseason. You know, the biggest question mark starts at quarterback. You know, Christian Ponder, he can't complain about the weapons he has. Probably the strongest group of receivers he's had, including Kyle Rudolph at the tight end. What kind of numbers does Ponder have to put up to really keep that starting job?
Well, that's a good question. I think you know, the most important number is the one that's on the left-hand side of the WL column. It's the wins.
Yeah.
And, you know, a lot of times, fair or not, quarterbacks take a lot of credit or a lot of blame for the win-loss column. So I think that's going to be the most important thing. I mean, you know, the good news for him is that if he isn't playing well, you know, we have enough pieces, as you've mentioned, in place around him offensively, but we also have improved defensively, and we have, and for my money, the best special teams group, if you consider all phases, in the NFL. So he has a lot of support, and I think what that's going to do for him is if there are times when he struggles, you know, I think other areas of the team are going to be able to pick it up for him. But conversely, what the next step for Christian is, as an NFL starting quarterback for us in on a team that aspires to win its division and return to the playoffs, the next step for Christian is to be able to put up performances as he did in Week 17 last season against Green Bay, where he can pick up the slack if another phase of our team is struggling. And that's something that is hard for a guy to do, and not every quarterback can do it. And if Christian can take that next step, you know, I think this season is going to be a success for him. So to me, it's less about You know, how many touchdown passes does he have? What's his completion percentage? What's his QBR or passer rating? To me, it's more about, are the Vikings winning games, and is Christian Ponder contributing to that? And obviously, even if a guy isn't playing great, but you're winning games, you're probably going to keep him. If a guy is if a starting quarterback's team is losing games, but he's playing well, you're still not going to bench him. So, you know, I think it's really hard to identify or define what type of performance equals being benched and what type of performance equals staying the starter. I think the bottom line is wins and displaying the ability to overcome some adversity in a game and pick up the slack for another part of the team.
Well, Adrian Peterson picked up a lot of that slack last year. Do you think there's too much press right now on records for AP instead of getting back on the field and being consistent?
Well, you know, that's something that's always going to follow Adrian. It probably always did in high school and even into college for him. But, you know, the funny thing about Adrian is, as much as we hear about, is he going to get to 2,000? Then he did. Is he going to get to 2,500? Is that even realistic? Can he win back-to-back MVPs? You know, can he be the fastest one to 8,000 yards? Yeah, I mean, you know, Adrian appreciates all that and has all that in mind, and he knows what all those numbers are. But, I mean, he cares about winning first and foremost. And that's one of the great things about Adrian Peterson. That, you know, that you could probably say the same thing about Peyton Manning in Denver and Tom Brady in New England and Drew Brees in New Orleans. But, you know, you can definitely say that about Adrian. So, you know, the Vikings are lucky in that respect. And last season, he was 9 yards short of the NFL single-season rushing record, but you never would have been able to tell that he was that painstakingly close to a record and didn't get it based on how he was acting after we won that game, because that win got us into the playoffs, and that's what he cared about more than anything. So, you know, is there too much talk about the records? Maybe, maybe not, but it doesn't really matter, because all of that is external. What ultimately matters is how Adrian handles it and what his viewpoint is on it. And Adrian appreciates the record and likes to set those goals, but for him, the number one goal is winning and winning a Super Bowl. And so I think for that, the Vikings should count themselves lucky.
This is going to be the fourth year with Toby Gerhardt as AP's backup. Kind of been largely underutilized, averaging about 3 touches a game last year.
Yeah,
now, should
yeah.
we expect to see more of the same as long as AP is healthy?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, you know, Toby, there's been a couple of times where Toby's had to step in and help us win games, and he's done that. I mean, on Christmas Eve in 2011, when Adrian was injured, Toby stepped in there and played well, and we won the game. You know, I think a lot of teams probably look at Toby Gerhardt and say, man, we'd love to have that guy on our team. He'd get 15 carries a game for us. Mm-hmm. So the Vikings are lucky to have a guy like that as their backup. And I get a lot of emails and comments and tweets from fans saying, "What, you know, why don't the Vikings trade him? They don't need him. He's good enough to play. Why don't the Vikings realize some value for Toby rather than having him ride the pine and average 3 touches a game, as you've mentioned? Why not trade for him?" And, you know, I understand that line of thinking, but at some point you need to realize, if you're the Vikings, you're a run-oriented offense with the best running back in the NFL, and you can't change your colors overnight, especially with a young, developing quarterback. So if something were to happen to Adrian, the Vikings need a reliable running back that they can plug in there. Yeah, it would be a step back going from Adrian to Toby, but Toby has proven he can be a workhorse for a team. So, you know, I think Toby may have as much or more value with us than he does with any other team. And I know that he would be a starter for a lot of other teams, so it sounds silly to say that, but you need to have quality depth. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm one who believes in, if you have a strong point on your team, don't weaken that to feed other parts of the team. I think you should stay strong when you're strong at a certain position. The Vikings are strong at running back, and I think they should stay that way and keep Toby for as long as they can.
Speaking of running back, Zach Line is getting a lot of press from Monday Morning Quarterback. He had a big long TD in his first carry as a Viking. Still a long shot to make the team?
You know what? I really wouldn't characterize him as a long shot. I think he's come a long way. I mean, it started out that way, you know, when he was at our rookie camp and, you know, when he was coming through the offseason program, we started training camp. Like, he's really played well. And I don't know. Obviously, we don't have a starting fullback position that's open for competition, really. I mean, a coach will tell you no one is guaranteed a spot, but we have a Pro Bowl fullback in Jerome Felton. Mm-hmm. You know, but Zach Line, I mean, you referenced the touchdown he had. you know, he's been doing other things well in practice too. You can play him on special teams. He's good coming out of the backfield, as you've seen. He's a good lead blocker. He's a good search blocker. I think you can put him in there in pass protection if you need to. And I wouldn't be surprised to see him make this team, to be honest with you. He's a guy who can do a lot of different things. He had more all-purpose yardage at SMU than Eric Dickerson. Now, granted, he played more seasons than Eric did, mm-hmm. but, you know, he's got some toughness, and he's willing to mix it up and block, but he's also got some ability and some skill with the ball. So I think he'll be a tough cut. He's probably one of those guys where the coaches talk about hard decisions, and they know they're going to cut people that are going to get picked up by other teams. I mean, if Zach Line does not make our roster, he's going to make another team's roster. So, you know, I would not call him a long shot. I kind of have my eye on him here over the last two preseason games to see if he can maybe catch someone here that's on the roster bubble and make our team.
Nice. Cordarrelle Patterson.
Yeah.
How's he advancing through camp?
Well, you know, that's what he's been doing is advancing. You talk to our wide receivers coach, George Stewart, and you know, he'll tell you that the kid has made a lot of progress. I mean, you know, he came to us billed as an explosive athlete who's going to help you in the return game right away, but you're going to need to be patient with him as a receiver. Now, I'm not saying that he's got it all down pat and he's good to go as an NFL receiver, but he is a lot better than what a lot of people thought he would be at this stage. I mean, I have no problem with his route running ability. They're not as good as Greg Jennings' routes. But they're not poor routes either, and I feel comfortable playing him as a receiver as soon as week one. Maybe not a starter, maybe not 45 snaps a game, but, I mean, he's going to be a contributor in the passing game quicker than a lot of people thought, including myself. And then we've seen what he can do as a returner. I mean, if you didn't see him play at Tennessee, just turn on the tape from the Vikings' first preseason game. The opening kickoff was returned by Patterson for 50 yards, and really he tripped over himself as he tried to put his foot in the ground and cut up field. And, you know, he was an eyelash away from breaking it. So I think Cordero is going to be the guy that teams will refuse to kick to eventually on kickoffs, and I think he's going to be a guy that we can get the ball to as a receiver. I don't think he's going to be a 1,000-yard receiver necessarily, but he's going to be a guy that is part of that receiver rotation, a guy that plays every Sunday for us. So, you know, he's been pretty exciting so far.
Well, Kyle Rudolph led the team last year with 93 targets. Percy Harvin second with 85. Now you've added Jennings and Patterson. Are we going to see that many targets again, do you think, for Kyle Rudolph? MVP of the Pro Bowl.
Yeah, you raise a good point there. I mean, maybe not. Maybe the targets go down a little bit just because there's a few more weapons. But, you know, the one thing that I've kind of been, I've been on this with Rudy, the Vikings single season record for touchdowns by a tight end is 11. It was set by Vasante Shenko in 2009 when Brett Favre was here. I think Rudy will break that. Now, he might not have 100 targets like last year. I don't know how many receptions he's going to have, but the guy is an absolute mismatch nightmare for defenses all over the field. But then when you get into the compressed field, when you get into the red zone and the field shrinks and the defense has less field to defend, Kyle Rudolph becomes an even bigger advantage for us because you can't put a linebacker on him. He's too fast and too quick. And if you put a defensive back like a safety or a nickelback on him, he's too big for those guys. So, I mean, and he and Christian Ponder have a good relationship. Christian trusts him in a lot of our blitz periods. You know, Christian will just throw the ball up to him if he sees isolated coverage. And so there's a trust factor there that you really just, you know, you can't have enough of that between a quarterback and his favorite receiver. So, you know, I say to answer your question, the targets, maybe they'll go down, but his touchdowns are going up. I mean, I think you're going to see him getting down the field, scoring a lot of touchdowns, and being an absolute beast in the red zone.
Let's shift gears quickly to the defense, and it's a different story because you're dealing with loss and injury on the defensive side of the ball. Jared Allen had knee and shoulder surgery in the offseason. How's he bounced back, or is it hard to tell yet?
Well, I think, you know, to be honest, I think it's hard to tell because we haven't seen him play games, and I can sit here and talk about how great a camp he's had until I'm blue in the face, but what really matters is how he plays in games. And from what I can tell, in training camp, he's fine. He looks good. You know, he's not complaining. He's not sitting out practices. He's been there every single day. And normally, if you have a veteran who's coming off the surgery and he's not quite there yet, they're going to rest him and give him time off. We saw that with Antoine Winfield the last few years. I mean, there were weeks when Antoine didn't practice. You know, and just played in the game, and that was to save wear and tear from him, save some reps during the week, during our practices. That hasn't been the case with Jared. I mean, he's been out there every day practicing. And so to me, he looks like, you know, the same old Jared. And, you know, it's funny because he played through those injuries last year, a shoulder and a knee. I'm not going to say they were bum shoulder and bum knee, but I mean, they were close. He had to be operated on after the season, but he still had 12 sacks. And, yeah. You know, look up and down the stats and find a defensive end that had more sacks than Jared Allen. There aren't very many of them. So, you know, even on a bad shoulder and a bad knee and what some people would call a down season, Jared Allen was still an all-star for us. And, you know, I think he's sitting on another double-digit sack season, which he's been in the double digits for sacks ever since we've gotten him in 2008. I think he's going to do it again this year.
You picked up a guy to hopefully take some pressure off him, and that's Shreve Floyd. But he's already out with a knee surgery, out through the rest of preseason, hopefully going to be back start of the season. Is that optimistic? Do you think that he's going to be back for game one?
Well, I think it is an optimistic viewpoint, but it's realistic too. You know, anytime you tweak a knee like that, you play on the interior, I mean, one side of it is, you know, you always have guys diving at your knees. So if you're already hurt, what's going to happen when we get to the season? But, you know, the other side of that is you're a defensive tackle. You know, you're not playing out in space a bunch, and you don't need to be 100% healthy the whole season and moving quickly. Now, so I don't know what side of the fence you're on that one. But either way, Sharif's going to ultimately be back. And that's good news for us because in his first two preseason games before he went and had his procedure, he was a disruptive player. He had a pass breakup and a tackle for loss in his first action at home against Houston, and he had some good snaps against Buffalo. So I'm optimistic about his chances of playing as soon as week one. If it's not week one, it'll probably be week two. But, I have no reason to think he won't be able to play right away. And, you know, the good thing with Shreve is there's not going to be a ton of pressure on him to be a game changer. I think he can be a game changer, but there's not pressure on him to do that right away because he's playing behind Kevin Williams, who's one of the best defensive linemen in team history. So, and that's saying a lot, you know, mm-hmm. a team that boasts the Purple People Eaters. And, you know, Kevin Williams is one of the best we've had. So Sharif's going to get to learn behind Kevin here for a season. I think he'll still get 25 or 30 snaps a game. I think he'll still be productive, but there's not a lot of pressure on Shreve to come in here and be a game changer. I think that's really going to help him long term.
You got a fairly young secondary with the loss of Antoine Winfield, Harrison Smith, unbelievable coming in here, entering his second year. Your top two corners on the depth chart have 4 years combined experience. You add Xavier Rhodes, rookie and nickel. How's that unit gelled?
Well, I think they've gelled fine, and we saw you know, I think we saw a glimpse of what we want to see more of when we were in Buffalo. We saw Xavier Rhodes in press coverage get physical with a receiver. Blanket coverage deflects a pass up into the air. Jamarcus Sanford comes down from a safety spot and intercepts it. I mean, you know, let's have more of that, please. That's something that we just, you know, we haven't had enough of that in recent seasons. I mean, in 2011, we were the worst pass defense in the league. Last year, we were 25th. That's a jump of seven spots. A jump of seven spots sounds good, but we were still just 25th. So, you know, I think the expectation for me is that they take a big jump this season with the addition of Xavier Rhodes being the primary reason. But I also like what Josh Robinson has been doing in the slot. He's getting his hands on a lot of balls during practice. I'd like to see him do that in a game. And, you know, I'm with Harrison Smith playing as well as he is and as good as he is, I'm completely comfortable with Jamarcus Sanford as our safety. You know, I think 28 starts over the last two seasons, you're not really going to trick Jamarcus. He doesn't have the best ball skills, and you're not the most confident if he's backpedaling in coverage. But if Jamarcus is running downhill to stop the run or running downhill to stop some reception underneath, I'm completely fine with that. So, you know, I think there's work to do in the secondary, but I think they've made a lot of improvements, and they're going to be tested in this division. I mean, you look at Matt Stafford and Aaron Rodgers and Jay Cutler, Brandon Marshall, Kelvin Johnson. I mean, you know, again, I talked about how these guys have improved and how they played well in camp. Well, let's see it in games. And these guys are going to be tested early and often. We start with Detroit and Chicago with two of those quarterbacks. So, you know, we'll find out right away how much the secondary has improved, but I'm excited to see it.
Nice. And quickly, we're going to a couple quick fantasy football questions. Of course, everybody's thinking fantasy right now.
Oh, my.
Kyle Rudolph, is he the top tight end to take?
Well, here's my – I was actually talking about this with a coworker yesterday. you know, I want, you know, every fiber in my body wants to say yes because he's my guy. I mean, he plays on our team, and I think he's going to set a Vikings record. So I think if you end up with Kyle Rudolph, that's nothing to spit at. I think you're going to be pretty good. But to me, with how much the Saints pass the ball and with how accurate Drew Brees is, I mean, it's tough to go away from Jimmy Graham. If you have your pick of the litter, I don't know how you wouldn't pick Jimmy Graham, but if you don't like Jimmy Graham for whatever reason, Kyle Rudolph certainly, you know, 1 and 1A to me. So, I just think with Jimmy Graham, he's gonna have more opportunities. He's probably gonna have more yardage because the Saints are a pass heavy team. The Vikings are a rush heavy team. So, if you're a touchdown only league though, Kyle Rudolph you may want to put him ahead of Jimmy Graham.
AP is obviously number one overall pick in most leagues. Cordarrelle coming in, is he worth the risk in the first 4 to 5 rounds?
Well, I think it depends on your rules, how many receivers you have to start, and then what are your rules for special teams touchdowns. And because I think Cordarrelle is going to have 2 or 3 return touchdowns. I mean, that's, you know, teams can try and kick away from him. Teams can try and kick it out of the end zone. But at some point, a ball is going to fall on his hands, and he's going to take one to the house. So, if you get points for that, you have to elevate Cordarrelle Patterson up your wide receiver list. Now, as a receiver, what's the targets going to be? Because he's playing with Greg Jennings, he's playing with Kyle Rudolph, he's playing with Jarius Wright, and he's playing on a team that runs the ball. As you know, we had the 6 most rushes last year, and I don't think that number is going to go down this year. So, I guess it's hard to really rubber stamp endorse him as a fantasy stud as a receiver as a rookie. But if you get points for special teams, I think you have to elevate him a little bit. And there's nothing wrong with having Cordarrelle Patterson on your bench to put him to start him when you're one of your top three has a bye, or if the Vikings are playing a special teams group that is struggling. Which, you know, you remember going into our game at Ford Field last year, Detroit had given up 2 touchdowns to Tennessee the week before. Yep. They play us, we return 2 touchdowns. So. I think if you get points for special teams touchdowns and return yardage, I think you elevate Cordarrelle a little bit.
And final question for you, 10-6 last year, where do you see the Vikings?
I don't see them dropping off at all. I think it's a better roster. We have, by the NFL scheduling formula, the book tells you we have a tougher schedule because we're playing a second-place schedule this year, where last year we weren't. So the schedule is supposed to be tougher, but I don't think there are any easy games in the NFL anyway, so it doesn't really matter to me what the schedule rank is. But, you know, I just look at the roster top to bottom, and I look at the Vikings in Week 17 last season, and I look at the Vikings in Week 1 this season. Which team would I rather have? And I would rather have Week 1 of this season. I think this roster is better. I think this team is better. Leslie Frazier and his staff have one more year of experience. Christian Ponder is going to be a better player. You know, last year I thought there were times when he was below average. I thought there were times when he was exactly what we needed. This year, I think he's going to be somewhere in the middle, and he's going to be more consistent. So I think this is a better team. And, I can't say for sure what Green Bay is going to do, what Chicago is going to do, but I think the Vikings are a better team. They remain, to me, one of the best special teams groups in the NFL. I think their defense has gotten better. We still have the MVP, and we've added some nice weapons to the passing game. So I expect this team to fall off absolutely none and contend for a division title.
I like it. As a Viking fan, I like it. Wonderful. Well, thank you, Mike. You can read Mike's stuff and see his interviews on Vikings.com. Where can we follow you on Twitter at, Mike?
You can follow me at Wobby, W-O-B-B-Y, and it's Vikings heavy, so you have to have an appetite for that. But if you do, I'd love you to follow along and join us. It should be a fun ride this season. We got a lot of fun stuff planned.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much, and I look forward to the season.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me in.
Definitely great to have Mike on the show, it's going to be interesting to see how the Vikings do. It should be fairly intriguing, a lot of new pieces.
Absolutely, it's going to be a good storyline to watch, how Ponder does with Greg Jennings there, Kyle Rudolph, how he's doing, and of course AP following him all year is going to be great.
Oh yeah, fun to watch. Bobby, it's my music, and we're going to do a little something different with music. Going to give something a try. We'll tell you at the end of the podcast what it's about and how you can become involved. But my selection this week is Edward Sharp and the Magnetic Zeros. They have a new one out, newer one out. It came out in July. The song is called Better Days, and they actually performed this on Conan O'Brien a few weeks ago. Great song, so give it a listen.
But I don't need much more than faith. For all the times it felt alone, dreaming better, better ways. Too dark to say goodbye. Well, there's some give on this shit, make me wanna cry.
Love that song, and it just sticks in the end. I was riding the train a couple days ago, and I came across that tune, and I listened to it over and over and over and over again. I just really enjoy it. It sticks with you.
Nice.
Bobby, it's time for a six-pack. What just happened?
You actually won a competition.
I wouldn't even call it winning. It was, you were trounced.
Yeah, but it... To be fair, it was in throwing cards. We each had three cards, and it was to see who could throw the farthest card. And you managed to get one lost in the studio, pretty much.
What one is lost forever in the studio. Yeah. But the one that won it,
yeah,
it was pretty impressive.
It was a good throw. No other throw got even close to
it. Yeah, it was like three times farther than all three of your throws. How do I know this? Because you're very consistent in the bad of the throw.
I was in the bad of the throw. That's so. It's a term.
Anyway.
But anyways, we need music for our six-pack. Let's start it
now.
J.D., Hines Ward appeared on the Dan Patrick Show this past week. I don't know if did you get to see any of it?
Mm-mm.
So he had some comments about his reputation as one of the dirtiest players in the NFL.
Yes.
And he said that he would read scouting reports and look for injuries. If he found one, he'd focus on it. He said, needless to say, I'm circling that. I'm cut blocking all the time. That's how I got to be considered one of the dirtiest players. He said he thought there's nothing wrong with a cut block because defenders weren't going to take it easy on him. But circling the injuries, looking at the paper every week, circling what the injuries are and making sure you can hit that knee if that knee's feeling it. He said he was going to hit that knee. Where is the line between that and a coach saying to players in the locker room, take this guy out?
I think it's all bad. It's bad for one that Hines Ward, with a Hall of Famish career, says that he needed that to be successful.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's horrible, and I also think, you know, when coaches do it, that's obviously, we know through the Saints that's bad. But come on, you're better than that. You're a professional athlete. Put your best out against their best. Yeah, you're trying to look for every edge, but that's a pretty bad edge. And not that I lost respect for Hines Ward, but I think a lot of people did when he came out and said that, finally. So, bad.
Yeah.
Bobby, speaking of football, an Ohio man was accused of streaking at a Browns game. he jumped on the field, and he streaked, right?
Okay.
Arrested. He pled not guilty to criminal trespass and in public indecency. Okay, pled not guilty. Now, his attorney said he's a good kid. He just got caught up in the excitement. He's scheduled to appear in court on September 10th to determine if he's eligible for a first offenders program that would erase the charges once the program has been completed. He pled not guilty. Everybody saw you.
There's a lot of witnesses.
You're an attorney, Bobby.
Yeah.
Tell me, what would happen if someone came into your courtroom and said, you know, you have video of them streaking naked and they plead, no, I didn't do it.
I think it'd be a good laugh for everybody, especially if that got to be a trial and we got to put it on and show the video from there. That would be pretty exciting stuff. But it's probably something's going to get worked out in that case. That would be pretty amazing, though, if they did get to do a trial and he got to show the video. And if he, I mean, he wouldn't try to claim it's not him.
No.
What are you saying? This is where the excitement hit me and my pants fell down? Like, what do you say? JD.
Tequila makes his clothes come off.
Apparently, wow. Bernie Kosar gets in trouble when he's doing the Rams broadcast. He rants against the Rams. ESPN Radio in New York, 104.5, they got in a little bit of trouble because they had Shane Spencer on, but not the real Shane Spencer, former Yankee, on. They had a fraudulent Shane Spencer come on and say that he used steroids, Clemens used steroids, and it would... nobody should assume that Derek Jeter and Mariano Rivera didn't take steroids. Now, at the time, they all thought this was the real guy. It took at least it took a day later for them to realize that it wasn't the real Shane Spencer. So this was broadcast out there. And
so the station didn't know.
Yeah, station didn't know. They thought they were interviewing the real guy, and he says all this. Here's my question, though, JD. What are we going to get into trouble with when Bernie Kosar's doing that, ESPN Radio is messing up? What's our big trouble that's going to come down the line?
I think there's 138 counts against us already with 138 episodes. I will say this. I can't say this. I was going to say we've never faked a guest, but we have.
Harry Carey was real.
Harry Carey, we faked. But, you know, all the guests we've had on have been authentic, and it's been a lot of work to get a lot of people on, and we thank them all for being on our show. You know what? We run a clean ship.
Run a clean ship.
The Minnesota Twins of podcasting.
Careful what you say. You better be knocking on wood when you say something like that.
I would never do that as I knock on wood. Bobby, my question for you. We just had our fantasy football draft for the league we're in together, who won that last year?
I was in the championship game.
Who'd you lose to?
And I lost to you.
Yes, you did.
Yeah.
A lot of interesting things going on in our draft.
Sure.
We had a little bit different format, different place. What was the funniest part of the draft for you? Bobby was commissioner, folks, as he was doing this draft, and he had all the picks up on the big screen TV, and we did some Google hangout for those who couldn't be there. Lots of beer, lots of fun.
I'd say the funniest part for me is commissioner, though, you're kind of focused on making sure everything moves smoothly. So that's kind of obnoxious when you're doing that, but the best part was we had a drink for everybody. We got I think it was Colt 45, but it was a special Colt 45. It was a tall boy, and it was a raspberry blue, like raspberry and like watermelon flavored.
A Four Loko looking thing. Yeah.
And it was a tall boy. And the rules were the first person to draft a significantly injured person or pick somebody who's already been picked has to drink it. And when it started, you were the first person to make that mistake. And you started drinking it. And then moments later, one of the other guys did the same thing. So you just were able to pass off the drink right to him.
Passed it to him. And he did it again, though.
And he did it multiple times.
So he
ended up keeping the drink. But also, people were trying it anyways. A lot of guys were like, hey, is that any good? Hey, is that blue raspberry watermelon? Any good? I'll just take a sip or something. But
this milk is rotten. Try it. Okay. That's what it was.
That was probably the funniest part of it for me.
All right.
Oh, last question for you. I'm used to going last.
I'm
not used to this, JD. All right. Obviously, I gave my prediction on the Broncos last week.
Yes.
Now you have to give your objective, serious fan projection on Vikings record.
Vikings went 10-6 last year.
Yep.
A nice charge those last four games to make the playoffs. They're a much better team this year because of adding Jennings, Patterson on offense. Kyle Rudolph is season AP is amazing. Offense, I'm not too worried about.
Mm-hmm.
I still, you know, we still have questions at the quarterback position. Young and beat up on defense already.
Mm-hmm.
So that gives me a little bit of worry. But if you look at the whole sheet, they should be better. 10-6 last year. 10-6 this year.
Okay.
This is why. This is the year we have the Steelers, the Ravens. Bengals are going to be better.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's going to be hard. That's going to be hard to get through. So
tough sled.
10-6.
All right.
Bobby, a dentist in England, has John Lennon's tooth.
Okay.
And he wants to try to clone the beetle with the DNA from the tooth. What famous dead person would you want to clone?
What famous dead person would I want to clone? I don't want to clone any dead people. That's really creepy. Like, to have a personal John Lennon in your house.
Oh, exactly. It's like that episode of Big Bang Theory when Sheldon got Leonard Nimoy's DNA and he can make his own Leonard Nimoy. Who are you going to make? But you're not going to make anybody?
I'm really creeped out by that. I mean, I don't know.
You don't have to. I don't want to force you into this, Bobby.
You know what? I'm gonna clone somebody. No, this would make it even creepier. I'm not gonna say it.
John Elway? So,
no, because he's not dead.
Really?
Hey. Hey. Stop it. I'm not comfortable answering that question.
You don't have to answer.
I was going to say an actress, and then I was like, wait, people are going to read too much into this.
Were you going Marilyn Monroe?
I was a little classier than that.
What?
Audrey
Hepburn?
I was going to say Audrey Hepburn.
There you go.
Nothing wrong with that. I'm not going to give any reasons.
Why you're not?
No reasons.
Why are you going to do it?
There are no reasons that are necessary at this time. So, it's my turn for music. JD, I have a new one for us. The Avett Brothers released a new album last year in September, I think it was, The Carpenter. They did it again. They recorded another album. It's going to be out in October called Magpie and the Dandelion. Solid title.
Mm-hmm.
This is their first single off of it called Another Is Waiting.
Anyhow, well, you're following your heart rate down. She's a rose, she's a queen, but she's staring at a magazine in the dark, on that path where they doctor every photograph. Another is waiting, she isn't saying anything. If you care, if you like, well, I'm standing in the lantern with our weapons and our love, and I use them both to cover up. Another is waiting, she isn't saying anything. But I love you and I care, so you got to get off that conveyor belt. If I could, I would come right.
Time for Last Call, One Stop Away, Bobby, and mine comes from England.
All right, jolly old.
Jolly old England. Well, a travel website called Sky Scanner had a survey of 700 international cabin crew members from 83 countries. What they wanted to find out, Bobby, what do people leave in the plane?
Okay.
You think, passports.
Magazine.
Phone. books.
Sure.
Yeah. But some of the other unique items that they found, well, dentures, onions.
Onions?
A box of dried fish. A single egg. A toupee. A double bass. A wedding dress.
Ooh.
A written marriage proposal. Guessing that one didn't go good. Diamonds. A bag of sand. And of course you have pets. Sometimes people leave pets behind.
Sure.
A parrot. A falcon. A frog. And a tortoise. Yeah, you know, what would make you leave your A, your dentures? Okay, you're senile. I can get that.
All right.
I get that. A box of dried fish. You went through the effort of going through, whether it's customs, whether it's security, with your box of fish, and you don't, like, keep it?
And you know, you think that's something memorable that you'd be able to call the airline back and they'll grab that for you. But no, you just left it. Not going to call back for it.
And you know, it's an important wedding when you forget your wedding dress.
Oh man, that's got to be brutal.
Yeah, yeah. So
yeah, I've only left a magazine. I don't think I've ever.
I've left magazines. That's it.
All right, JD. What do you think if somebody says, "Hey, this person's already won the competition 5 times in a row. Let's give somebody else a chance. Not let them be in the competition next year."
I don't think that's right.
You don't think that's right?
No, I think the person should be allowed to compete. Until something, you know, you're the best. To be the best, you have to beat the best, Bobby.
Okay.
To be the best, beat the best.
Let's say you were representing somebody who wanted to make sure somebody else gets a chance. Okay? And so you're going to say, "Hey, I'll support you in this. You want somebody else to win it, I'll support you." You're the person that has to tell that person,
so
you're not going to be in the competition this year. Hey, you can maybe you can be a judge. Maybe you can do something else. You know, we'll recognize you. Mm. Right? You do something like that. Is that tough?
It's still hard. I mean, you're acknowledging the person's greatness.
Sure.
But you're giving them an opportunity to still be a part of it. But at the same point, the person wants to compete and defend their 5-time title.
Yeah.
So let's say the Denver Broncos win 5 straight Super Bowls. They're like, "Can you guys sit back and not play this year?"
Yeah, can't do it.
No.
The harder part, if you had to do that, would be telling that to a 9-year-old. And that's what a librarian did. Yes, a librarian did in New York. Because a 9-year-old has won the library's reading club contest 5 years in a row, and the local librarian,
he's a liar,
said she wants him out because he hogs the contest every year and should step aside. This is from the Hudson Falls Public Library. Marie Gandron is the library director. And she, because he read 63 books from June 24th to August 3rd, outstanding.
That's amazing.
Won the Dig Into Reading competition the 5th year in a row. She's like, "He's got to step aside. Other kids quit because they can't keep up." And he hogs. She used the word hogs the competition.
What?
He has a younger brother who's actually won the group 2 years in a row. So they're just really great readers. And it's not like they can read it and lie about it. They get quizzed on all the books.
Okay, that was my question. They get quizzed. It's not like they're going, "Mom, I read that book. Did you?
Nope.
Yes.
They have somebody from the library actually quiz them. They change the rules so that they have to answer questions by a library aide about the books. And then after they return them in order to verify that they read what they claimed.
That's
they
crazy.
Read. So the kid's just kicking butt.
Yeah.
But the librarian wants to kick him out. And his parents now want an apology because she made this, she put it in the news. It went into Glen Falls Post Star.
You know what?
She wants him out.
She should be kicked out, not the 9-year-old. Let's start a national campaign to oust her.
How many librarians have ever been the face of a controversy before?
It's been a while.
It's been a long while,
maybe
I think.
Ghostbusters?
Now,
the librarian at Ghostbusters.
It's time. She didn't want ghosts in the library.
No,
which is reasonable. I will side with her on that. They made a mess.
They did make Slimer made a mess, but they could be fun.
They could be, but they messed up all the Dewey Decimal cards.
Yeah, because they use those now.
I don't think they use them anymore. I don't think they.
It's been a while since you've been to a library, hasn't it?
It's been a little bit. Okay. They don't do the Dewey Decimal system anymore. It's all on computers now?
I believe it's all on the webs.
Outstanding. The interwebs. JD, you said something about interacting with us about music.
Every week, Bobby and I play a song. Yes. And we have varying tastes. There's times our tastes overlap. But we do have a lot of fun picking those songs and try to give you something new to listen to. Mm-hmm. And we get feedback from our viewers. Some of them like some of the songs. Hey, where'd you get that? Others would be like, what is that?
Lame. Come on.
Yeah.
Pick it up.
Exactly. So I think it'd be fun to put a little competition on the Facebooks.
On the Facebooks.
Where we can put our song and you can vote for the song you like that week.
Song of the week. Who wins?
Song of the week, and then we'll discuss it in the next show.
I win pretty much every other competition. What's another one for me?
You just heard. So whatever Bobby puts on there, do not vote for him.
So, JD, people can follow us at Twitter, @2beersin, @2beersin. You can also email the podcast if you like what we're doing. If you don't like what we're doing, what's our email address?
20 minutes, 2 beers in, that's with the numerals, @gmail.com.
Excellent. Well, big thanks to Mike Wobschel from Vikings.com for joining us.
Yeah, huge thank you. And follow him on Vikings.com. He's got some great stuff going on. Next week, we're going to have another NFL team on to round out the preseason. And should be fun.
Outstanding. We'll see you next week. To be fair, it was in throwing cards.